General Goldfein, describe a typical day in the Chief of Staff's office.
Well, I get up in the morning, I fly to Oshkosh.
That's not a typical day in January.
So, you know, typical day for the Chief. You know, what's interesting is, what's fascinating is the diversity of missions in the United States Air Force. I mean, sometimes I describe and say, we do leaflets to nukes and everything in between, right? We operate from 100 feet below the surface in a missile silo to the outer reaches of space and everywhere in between. So we're the big tent service in some ways, right? Meaning, you know, for all of the, especially the young people here who are thinking about what you may want to do, we have a place for folks from we're such a diverse force with so much that we're doing that we have room for everybody's passions, right? So there may be a young person here who is passionate about space and wants to be an astronaut. We're your place, right? We got room for you. The next person is passionate about cyber and wants and loves getting into the computer technology. You know what? Guess we got a place for you. Someone wants to fly. Somebody wants to maintain. Somebody wants to work in. You know, you name it, we got it, and we're a good place for you.
Having flown the F-117, the stealth fighter, you had an interesting story I heard earlier today about a marble.
Oh yeah.
Would you like to share it with us?
Yeah, but I'm a little sensitive because I've talked a lot, and I want the crowd to hear from them.
Well, let's hear the marble story quick.
Real quick.
Sure.
All right. I just talked about the F-117 and how it came along. There was a young engineer that was studying. You know, he liked to, you know, look at journals, and especially those that were translated into English. So he found this Russian journal, and it had the math for stealth technology in it. And so he carved out in his shop a little Hope Diamond looking thing in a block of wood, and he brought it into the CEO, Ben Rich, and he put it on the table, and he said, what's that? He goes, this shape will return the radar return of an eagle's eye. He says, can you get it airborne? You can try. So that's how stealth technology was born. And then years later, about the time they had an airplane, they were flying it, the CEO came to my conference room and took out a marble and rolled it across the table to the chief. The chief and the Secretary of Defense at the time said, what's that? He said, that's the radar cross-section of what we've just built you.
And that is how the marble story relates to stealth technology.
That's it.
General Miller, for you, you've had a very diverse career. With the reserve and now active, what's been some of the highlights of your career?
You know, the highlights are always the mission and the airmen. You know, there's no other way to describe it. And as the chief says, we are in every mission set out there. And you know, as I was growing up, the precious nature of what the Air Force does every single day is just unique. The way we serve in the Air Force or any service is unique to this country. And the value that the Air Force provides is amazing, and to be a part of that as a young airman, to have teammates and wingmen that go through this together on mission sets. I don't know how many times on a mission we'd sit there landing the first airplane into Tajikistan, the first airplane into Minsk, Belarusia, meeting the foreign minister of defense as a captain. And it's a long story, but we were actually doing little shots of vodka. And I have a deputy assistant secretary with me and goes, Marianne, if you don't drink that, it's an international incident. So it was about this much. And I didn't sit in the seat flying out of there. I sat in the jump seat and everything was fine. But that story went all the way to the deputy secretary of defense. And I got a phone call saying, hey, thanks for doing the right thing, captain. And that's what we do. And that's one of hundreds of thousands of stories across our Air Force of amazing young people doing amazing things for our country. And we do it as teammates, we do it as wingmen, and there's not a better journey. There's not a better journey. And I can say that. I can say that because I've lived outside the fence, and I've owned a restaurant outside the fence, and it was awesome. It was great being an entrepreneur, it was great being a part of the public. It was great. Every table has a story, like the chief says. That was precious to me. But wearing the uniform is unique. And the honor and the privilege that we that we get to embark on wearing this uniform. I wish more young people could share in that uniqueness with us, because it's important.
And General Dunbar, how long have you been in charge of the Wisconsin Guard?
I've been the Adjutant General in Wisconsin since 2007, which is crazy, but it's the greatest job in the state of Wisconsin, and it's a really wonderful thing to do.
How has the job changed in those few years?
Well, I don't know that the job has changed, but I will tell you, I would just like to put this back in an Air Force vernacular. You know, if you think about how you try and defend the United States of America, which is such a wonderful country, we've got this phenomenal Air Force, the best Air Force in the world, and to have our Air Force trust so much of its equipment and its mission to its wingmen, the National Guard and the United States Air Force Reserve, so that you have this connection, as we were just talking about, when you have a connection to the American public. You have so many men and women who are working in the community and wearing a uniform and mobilizing in a heartbeat to head overseas anywhere on the planet that the Air Force needs us to be, and we can do it seamlessly with the Air Force in the lead and these two fine wingmen in a formation that is just unparalleled. It is unbelievable to have this young Air Force, which is still only 72 years or so old, so phenomenal, and having so much trust in the National Guard and Reserve. And to me, that's the biggest thing that's changed. It is really something.
And Major Winitsky, you're an ROTC graduate, and one of the things I think everyone in the audience has noticed is we're 50-50 here, men to women, right? And it's something we're seeing more and more of in the armed services and all around. But what was your inspiration to take that first step and join the ROTC?
I'd always been fairly strong in math and science, thankfully, really in part due to just a phenomenal primary and secondary education, as well as, you know, support from family and friends. And as a, you know, young high school student, when individuals start asking, what are you going to do when you grow up, apparently there's an answer that you should eventually come up with. But to be honest, it was, I had, you know, kind of decided through process elimination I was going to be an engineer. And I had kind of whittled it down to, yeah, airplanes seem pretty cool, so let's just do airspace, that sounds good. And I was like, well, this flying thing seems like it would be pretty fun. Sounds better. So then I was like, well, why don't I just do both? Why don't I go be an engineer, go be a pilot, and then why don't I just go be a test pilot as well? To be honest, that's the straight and narrow how this happened. But to be honest, it would not have happened without a diverse set of mentors from all walks of life, in all stages as well. People that, you know, you knew and family that you trusted, to the random person at the FBO that stopped and gave you 5 minutes of their time to talk about the new gadget they put on their airplane today. And just that small little bit, you know, here and there, and that those positive mentors throughout definitely was influential in making this happen, if you will.
How does it feel to be back home?
Oh, it's great, yeah. And this is a perfect time of year to be home, and it's been awesome.
Great. And this is your first time, so welcome to Oshkosh. And General Goldfein, this is your first time as well. Were there any airplanes that you saw on the flight line that you think you might want to take home?
F-35.
I feel like we can make this happen.
Yeah, there was actually a number of them I saw. I used to be an airplane owner for some period of time. I actually owned a part owner of a Mooney. Rachel, you love this, right? So I was in my weapons shop, and I was looking at my lieutenants, and he had an AOPA magazine out, and I said, what's up with that? He says, oh, yeah, my dad's into flying. And I says, really? I said, what do those things cost? And so he tells me, about 30 grand. I said, man, I got 10 bucks. I got 10 grand. You got 10 grand? And then another lieutenant walked in. I said, Bam Bam, you got 10 grand? And so we formed a partnership right there and bought a Mooney.
Perfect.
How cool is that?
Yep.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
We are just about out of time because the generals want to watch the Heritage Flight, which is one of the first acts of the Night Air Show, and I know a lot of you want to get out there as well. But Major Winitsky Any chance you could maybe ask the boss if we could get an F-35 flyover at Lambeau Field?
I think that we could probably make that happen, sir.
Rachel, if you want it, it can be done.
All right.
Yes.
On one condition. You fly it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Now we're talking.
That's awesome.
General, any final words before we wrap up this evening?
I'll just share this. You want to know why I'm still in?
Sure.
Sitting right over there. Is she amazing or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
And sir, I hope you do come back to the show and see us again. Major Miller, thank you for coming back. Major Dunbar as well. Glad to see both of you again and welcome home. Rachel, and this is your United States Air Force. Please give them a big Oshkosh round of applause.